But today we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse number 17. We were here last week, preached a message on who are you? Through that, God gave me three other messages that he wants me to go through, and so we're going to do that in the next couple weeks, and I might have another one on that, I'm not sure, but the title of today is, Who Do You Want to Be? Who do you want to be? You remember when you were back in school? I know some of you are still in school today. You're pretty fortunate to go through that. But some of us can remember back when we were going through that time, especially when it came to the time of those freshman years in high school, and thoughts came to our mind, what are we going to be, or who are we going to be when we get out of here 4 years from now? You guys remember that question when you came to that time? Some of you are probably still trying to figure that out. But I remember back during that time, there were some things that I wanted to be in my life, but it wasn't according to what God wanted in my life, because I come to find out God has other plans for me. But I always didn't abide by those plans because I was so determined to do the things that made me happy, and I wanted to be something in life what I wanted to be. Well, I forgot what Scripture said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read this, verse number 17. Let's read this real quick. Because I didn't remember this as I was growing up. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Okay? So my life changed on the 25th of April of 1986, many years ago. I became a new creature in Christ. And what I didn't realize, because I'm in this learning stage, and that is this. Old things, as this verse says, it says old things are what? Passed away. A lifestyle that we no longer should be connected to, but we're connected to it because of a flesh that we have. Okay? So let's read this again. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm going to stop there again. If you are saved today, guess what, folks? You are a new creature. Amen? If you are not saved, you have no idea what I'm talking about here this morning. And so I hope that you pay close attention because we can help you to become a new creature in Christ. Amen? So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And here's the rest of this verse. Behold, all things are become what? New. Do you guys like watching the life of an infant when they begin to realize everything about them? Everything is new. I like that. They have this weird walk. You know, they do that stuff. Why do they do that? Because life is new, and they're trying to figure that out. And they're excited about everything that they come into contact with. Now, parents aren't too excited about everything they come in contact with, but they are. But they're not in this point in life of what they want to be. You that are out here this morning are now in this life of who you want to be. That's a question that you're going to have to ask yourself. And one day, you're going to have to answer that question. Reality is going to meet you. You're going to come out of high school one day. And once you get out of high school, you've got to figure out a plan for your life. But as you begin to figure that plan out for your life, let me give you some important words in this. Don't exclude God from your plans. Because that's where a majority of us go wrong. We exclude God from our plans, and here's what happens. We become who we want to be, and we don't put any thought into what God wants us to be this morning. Can I be safe to say that that might be our attitude today? Maybe we are still fighting God on who we want to be. Do you understand this morning that God has a specific plan for every single person that's in here? Now, we don't always give in to God's will, and we don't always do God's plan, but God has a plan designed for every single one of us the day that we get saved. But I believe we get lost along the way because we forget this verse that's very important. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's where we're at this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are so grateful that we're able to be back here this morning. Lord, I know that I have struggled this week trying to put into words of what you'd want me to say in this message. Lord, I know it's not a typical Sunday morning message, but it's the path that you have us on this morning. And so, Lord, since we're on this path, Lord, help us to really pay attention to what you want us to learn from your word. Lord, it's been a challenge this week, and I know it's going to be a challenge for the next couple weeks. But, Lord, I know with you, we can get through anything. And Lord, I also know with you, we can learn, we can grow, and we can become who you want us to be instead of becoming of who we want to be in life. I ask you these things this morning in your name. Amen. We have determined who we are from last week. And does anybody remember what we determined? We are sinners. That's what we determined last week. We are sinners. Now, nobody wants to come to church this morning or any morning and want to hear, hey, the preacher's up at the pulpit and all of a sudden, just right out of the box, he's calling us all sinners. Yes, I am, and I am included. We have all sinned throughout this week. And that's what we've determined last week. And guess what? We're going to continue to sin in our life because of what? We're yet to be in the presence of the Lord. And with that being said, I will say this every single time. Even though I am a sinner, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm able to go before God and ask and seek forgiveness from him. So that's what we determined last week. The next question that I want us to focus on here this morning is this. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Unfortunately, we tend to think worldly in this area, do we not? Because we begin to exclude what God wants in our life. So the question shouldn't be this morning, who do we want to be in the world, but who do we want to be spiritually? Amen? Who do we want to be spiritually? Growing up, we all had dreams. Every single one of us had dreams to do something that would be fulfilling to us. Can I, for a moment, begin to indulge you in my life for just a little bit? Anybody want to be a part of my life for the next 5 minutes? Okay, no hand was raised this morning, but I'm going to bring you into my life this morning just a little bit. When I was a youngster, man, that's weird to say, but when I was a young person, there was 3 to 4 things that I wanted to be in life. One of those things that I would still like to be, but I can't do those things because Q and I, we have a common bond in this area, and you'll know what that common bond is real quick, Q. But one of the things that I really wanted to do when I was a young person, I wanted to be a carpenter. But I come to find out in an early age, the carpenter skills passed up on me. They were not bestowed upon me. I don't have the privilege to be able to look at a blueprint and say, okay, this goes here, this goes there. That makes perfect sense. I look at a blueprint and I say, this is stupid. Get it out of here. I'm not skilled in those areas. And so now you know why you and I have a common bond. Duct tape and chicken wire works well for us on anything. But out of all seriousness, I had a dream when I was younger, and I wanted to be a builder. So I would begin to imagine the things that I can build inside my head, and believe it or not, they never made it to paper. So I failed in that area because it just wasn't me. That wasn't a part of God's plan in my life. The other plan that I wanted to be in my life, and my wife knows of this one. She laughs at the carpenter one. She goes, well, why did you want to be a carpenter? Is it because I love to build? But Chad, you can't build. I know. It doesn't make sense. But the other thing that I wanted to be is this. I wanted to be a firefighter. I thought it'd be cool to be able to go to the fire station and just be in charge of the fire truck and ride on the back of the fire truck, and the fire comes and I'm able to ride upon the scene and to be able to put that fire out. That's something, as a young person, I've always wanted to do. Aren't you glad you guys are a part of my childhood right now? And I'm probably safe to say this is probably some of your ideas as well growing up. But I wanted to be that in my life. I even looked at, in my early teenage years, to see what it would take to be able to become a firefighter and the test that you'd have to take, and that disqualified me right away because I'm not a good test taker. I'm horrible at taking tests. Am I the only one? Thank you. So that passed from my life because of this reason. I didn't understand it at the time, even when I wanted to be a builder. I never understood this, but that passed in my life for this reason. Because God had other plans for me. You want to make God laugh this morning? Tell God your plans. Because he's got something totally different for you. The problem is this. We don't listen to God when he's trying to tell us and give us direction in our life for us to do what he wants us to do. Let's admit it this morning. We've all failed in that area. So the builder went away from me. The firefighter thing that I wanted to be went away from me. But there is one more thing that I wanted to do in life, and I was really hoping to do this. And I still get envious of people that are in this field. And are you ready for this? You're going to laugh at this. I wanted to be a lawyer. Some people, what? Yeah, I really wanted to be a lawyer. I mean, come on. I got Perry Mason down. It's not that hard. You did the crime. Why'd you do the crime? You did it. Yes, I did. See, it's not hard to do. But that's something that I wanted to do in life. I thought it'd be kind of neat to be able to get behind the desk and be able to present a case and to be able to prove the person innocent. I thought that'd be something totally cool. But again, there's another problem that was almost the same problem as becoming a firefighter, and it was called studying. And so that field passed for me, and probably all the judges in the Council Bluffs area probably saying, thank God Chad Springer never became a lawyer in this state. But those are some things that I wanted to do. And those two things required study. Those two things required getting to know your material. Those two things required for people to take tests. Those were my ambitious goals in life that I wanted to do. The fourth one was interrupted. That's not on my list this morning. The fourth one, I wanted to go into the military. But I met this beautiful young lady at the age of 12 at a banquet, and that changed my course forever. And so now she's a part of my life, I'm a part of her life. How did that take place? Because that was God's plan. That was God's plan. But God had another calling in my life that I ignored for years, folks. And that was getting to the place where I am now. See, I haven't always followed God's plan because Chad Springer was more consumed, more interested in following the plans that he had in his life and who he wanted to be in life and didn't really care about what God wanted him to be in life. Because I forgot to look in Scripture that I'm no longer this old person. I am a new person in Christ. I am a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old desires are passed away. And all things have become new. Those are the dreams that I had. My plans on what I wanted to be were not in the plans of God. But I can stand before you this morning that there are people in this congregation this morning that are still fighting the will of God in their life. I can guarantee you that this morning. Because we're still trying to do the things that we want to do for us because they're more fulfilling for us than the plans of God. Can I ask you a question this morning? What's wrong? What's wrong with becoming a missionary? Let's think about this for a moment. Many people don't want to give in to the call of a missionary because they're afraid to go across this nation and to serve God. Folks, what if that's God's plan in your life? Let's just say for a moment this morning that God has called somebody into the mission field and they're ignoring the plan of God in their life because they're more concerned and more worried about their plans and what they want to do. And here's the result. The result is they're missing out on going to a field that God has called them to, and there are people that are going to hell because we're more interested in our plans on what we want to be. So I often wonder how many people ignore God's will in their life. I know a man today, and I've known him for years, who was called into to be a preacher years ago. I know their family well. And he ignored the call of God in his life. And I often wonder how many souls missed out on an opportunity to hear a message that could have changed their life from hell to heaven. See, I understand this morning that following our plans and doing our will, I understand those things are important to a lot of us. But I also understand that doing the will of God and doing what God wants us to be and who God wants us to be in life are far more important than our goals could ever be. But we go about our life and we ignore those things. And I'm here this morning to maybe be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe there's a young person this morning that God has been dealing with for years to go to the mission field or to go into the field of evangelism or go into a field of learning to play the piano or becoming a Sunday school teacher or even being a pastor or a pastor's wife. But they're not doing those things because they want to do what they want to do in life. I find it more fulfilling to do what God wants me to do than do what I want to do. And how do you get to that point in life? Folks, it's taken me many years to understand this. I too battle the flesh. I too tend to go back to my old ways of living. I too battle those things. I too want to continue to do what I want to do in life. But I understand that I have an almighty God in my life who has a better plan for me. And he has a better plan for you. And we miss out on opportunities because we're more worried and more consumed about, this is my goal in life. This is what I want to achieve. This is where I want to be. Instead of giving God that thought, well, maybe we don't even think about giving God a thought anymore. Kind of makes me wonder just a little bit. Well, how did my plans change? My plans changed on the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I just had no idea. I had no idea that those thoughts of being a construction worker, builder, I had no idea those thoughts of being a firefighter, I had no thoughts of those ideas of being a lawyer, that changed that day. Because God had a plan for me. By the way, I'm thankful that I received Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm never going to regret that. I'm never going to stop being excited that God saved my soul from hell to heaven. I'm never going to be bored of that thing in my life because I'm excited about that. But the day that I received Jesus as my Savior, my plans on who I wanted to be were changed. But here's what happened. Gary, this is what happened. I interfered with God's plans. I interfered. Well, how did I interfere? I said, God, thanks, but no thanks. I have different desires. I have different goals than you do, God. God, here's what we say, and I'm just going to be real. I'm thinking, and I'm one of those people that I say what I'm thinking. So here's what I'm thinking that a lot of you folks are thinking, but you're not going to say it. God, your will is not my will. That's what we say. God, your will is not my will. Your desires aren't my desires, and I'm just not going to do what you want me to do. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul from hell to heaven, and that's all I ever wanted out of life. I wonder how many people are like that in this auditorium this morning. That's all we're comfortable with is just receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we don't put any thought or any consideration into the plans that he wants for us in life. On that day that I accepted my Lord and Savior as my Jesus Christ that day, That day changed my life. That day changed my destination. Why? Because I became a new creature in Him. The old things passed away, but I fought like crazy to continue to do what I wanted to do. The old things are still there. I still, just like anybody else in here, I still battle the flesh. I still battle those things, but I'm thankful today that I serve a God who's bestowed His grace upon me. I'm so thankful for that. Why is it that we fight God on being who He wants us to be? Do we get scared about where He might want to send us, about what He might want us to do? Are we embarrassed of the calling that He might put upon our life? Are we timid of those things? The only answer that I tend to come back to this week on this answer is this, and I just said it a few moments ago. His will isn't our will. That's why we fight Him on these things. His will isn't our will. Here's the problem that we have in our life as a believer. And folks, when I say in our life, I want you to understand something. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody in here. I'm talking about myself here more than anybody. And so here's the problem that I have that you might have as well, and that is this. There is a lack of surrender on our part to doing the will of God. We don't want to surrender to God's will. We don't want to come into His, maybe, let's say, His control. One thing that we tend to forget is this. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we no longer belong to this world. We belong to Him. He is ours, we are His, and I'm thankful for that. But can I be an encouragement to you this morning? I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 5 years of age. You know, God began to deal with my life at the age of five. God began to deal with my life and began to show me what sin was in my life at the age of five. I remember those days. So it doesn't matter what age you are in life. Let me encourage you to do this. Surrender to God when He's probing you to do something. Surrender to Him. Let Him have His way. Let Him have His will in your life. For what reason? So that He can be glorified in what He's going to do in you. I have come to a conclusion why we want to do things the way we want to do them and why we want to be who we want to be is for this reason. We want man to glorify us in what we've allowed ourselves to be. If you're here this morning and you want praise and accolade from man, then you're in the wrong place this morning. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. Surrender to the will of God. Why do we forget to surrender? I have another answer with this one. This happens because of this. We forget who we are. We forget who we are. What do you mean we forget who we are? We forget that we no longer belong to this world, but now we are a child of the King. That's why we forget to surrender. But here's what happens. And I say the child of the King, we still, unfortunately, tend to serve this world. We forget who we are. So I'm here this morning to be an encouragement to you. You, if you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? You're a child of the King. Folks, I don't know what's going to excite you if that doesn't. I'm not going to jump on a chair this morning and try to excite you in that. But you're a child of the King. That's who you are. And when you're a child of the King, guess what? The child of the King has a plan for you in life. And He wants you to do what He so chooses you to do. You might not agree with it, but I will say this, you need to accept it in your life. Amen? So we forget to surrender because we forget who we are. We according to Scripture, are after salvation, we are what? We are a new creature in Him. I often wonder how many preachers and missionaries have never been in the ministry because they are who they want to be. I just gave you a story here a few moments ago, but that thought comes to my mind. Can I ask you a question this morning? First of all, I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Book of Acts, chapter 9, and we're going to read a good portion this morning. We're going to read from verse number 1 down through verse number 16. And the question I'm going to ask you, I want you to repeat it in your mind as we're going through this reading this morning. Here's the question. What will God have to do to you in order to get you to surrender to His will? Now let's read. Verse number 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus." Look what happens. "And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and a voice said unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And a man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there, he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And there's a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and told him, said, The Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision, and a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What will God have to do to you to get you to surrender to His will? You might have a different idea in life for yourself. No different than Saul had in his life. What was Saul? He was a persecutor. He was a murderer of the Jews. He wreaked havoc upon them. He put them in jail. He chased them around from city to city. But look what happened to him. God got a hold of his life. He said, Saul, no more are you going to do the things that you're going to do. No more are you going to have the will to do the will of your life. So Saul, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to blind your eyes and for 3 days and for 3 nights. And guess what, Saul? Your destiny is going to be changed. I didn't read the end of the story, but you know what happened with Paul or Saul as this story is done? He went out immediately and began to preach. So God got a hold of his life. Why do I stop on Paul just a little bit? Because God's wanting to get a hold of your life this morning. God has plans for you. But unfortunately, we're trying to still do and live what we want to do and what we want to be in life instead of even bringing into consideration what God wants us to be in life. I'm not against you having an occupation. I'm not against those things. And you might say, well, you sound like you are. No, I'm not against those things. You can still be those things and still be somebody for Christ. You can still work in a hospital and you can still be a minister for Jesus Christ as you're working in a hospital. You can still be on a construction crew, and you can still be a minister doing the will of God on the construction crew. You get what I'm saying here? God wants to use you where you're at, but unfortunately, we rebel against God and we don't want to do what he wants us to do. But God wants to bring us to a place of surrender. And if you're not going to surrender willingly, guess what? God might do some things to get you to a place of surrender. It wasn't long ago where God used something in my life, and out of nowhere, boom, he had to wake me up. And I said, okay, Lord, let your will be done. Let you have your way with me. I'm tired of getting away. I'm tired of interfering. I'm tired of trying to do what I want to do, because what I want to do is not working out for me. And so, God, here's my life. Take it and let it be. Folks, that's a hard place to get to, but I tell you this, it's one of the most beneficial places for me to be in. What will God have to do to get you to surrender to his will? Who do you want to be is the greatest question of the day. Who do you want to be? Can I ask you a question and I'll close? How's it working out for you? How's it working out for you? Well, what do you mean? Let me ask you a question. How many souls have you brought to Jesus because you're doing what you want to do? How's it working out for you? I'm not saying this to be mean this morning. I'm not saying this to be a jerk this morning by any means. Remember, this is all coming back at me. We shouldn't even be in this building this morning. What do you mean? If we're doing what God wants us to do this morning, this church would have been added to a long time ago. I want you to think about that. Let that sink in. God is always, always bringing people in our path. But we ignore those people because we're more worried about what we want to do in life, what we want to be, and where we want to be. And all I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is this. There's nothing wrong with trying to achieve some things for you. But when God gets put on the back burner, and when he's not even a part of that thought, there is something wrong with that. So I'm trying to be encouragement this morning and trying to get our minds to a different place this morning. Is, okay, God, you're right. For many years, I've been doing what I wanted to do. For many years, I've been fighting you, and I haven't really surrendered, and your will hasn't been my will, and you've been trying to tell me for years that I need to do your will, and I need to surrender to you, and God, I've been a rebellious child, and Lord, I don't know how many people you brought into my life as I've done this, and I've ignored those opportunities, and probably many people are on their way to hell because I passed up on those opportunities. And so, Lord, I'm going to put that to a stop today, and I'm just going to say, Lord, please forgive me and let you have your will in my life. How's your plans working out for you? How are they working out for you? I'm going to invite you to do something this morning. I know it's something that us Baptists are scared to do, and that is this. Here's an altar right here. It's one of the most least used places in the church. It's built for a reason, and that's so that we can come up as a church, as individuals, and begin to give our hearts to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. You know why this message is important to me? For this reason. I gave you four examples earlier of what I wanted to be in life and what I wanted to do. And I still fight God on this. I still fight him. And I have to surrender daily to do what he wants me to do. And that's where we need to be in life.